Hey, you, is your league rocking that same tired fantasy trophy they gave out to millennials like Grandma's Butterscotch? Trophy Smack destroys the competition! Finally, there is a unique and customizable fantasy sports trophy to represent your hard-earned victory. With Trophy Smack Swap Tops, you have the ability to change the trophy top every year. The league winner keeps their topper and plaque to remind them of what it takes to be number one. We also sell rings, championship belts, and gift cards. Still not sold on Trophy Smack? Take a real customer's word for it.
It's clearly the best trophy on the planet. I bought the Trump Topper and wow, doesn't that topper look like a winner?
Oh, I almost forgot. Last year in my fantasy league with UPS, I won a bet for free lifetime shipping. So, you're welcome for that. Take your fantasy smack talk to the next level. Visit TrophySmack.com to buy your trophy today.
What's up, and welcome to the Dynasty Happy Hour with your hosts, Doug Eddy, Tim Keller, and Tyler Gunther. Bring us all inside the huddle. Whether it's in-season or off-season, this is your spot for the best and in-depth Dynasty fantasy football advice. So let's not waste any more time and get right to it with Doug, Tim, and Tyler with another Dynasty Happy Hour.
Welcome back to the Dynasty Happy Hour with your host, Doug, along with his co-hosts, Tim and Tyler. We are celebrating a fruitful week two here at the Dynasty Happy Hour offices, and we hope you are as well. We're going to bring you some awesome stuff this week. We're going to go over some news and some injuries. We're going to go over our little Devy corner area, like off to the side. We're going to cover that. And we're also going to go over some of our observations from the NFL this week in more of a laid-back, open style, because Tyler just wants to freestyle, man. He's been smoking it up, and he's just feeling it this week. Tim, how are you doing this evening?
I am much better than I was at this time last week. Obviously, we tried to arrange a Monday podcast where we thought maybe all three of us could make it, but I had some family things go on. My niece that lives with me had to have her appendix removed. All is well; she's doing fine. Yeah, couldn't make it last week, so I'm happy to be back. Like Doug said, it's a very fruitful week too. Had some lineup miscues myself last week, but doing much better this week. I'm looking forward to talking to you guys.
Yeah, now that we have some more data, it's a little easier to set those lineups. Unless you had Rex Burkhead. I hope you didn't start him. Yeah. I watched that whole game, and man, the Pats. I know it was the warmest game since 2003, which was a fun stat. It was like 107 degrees on the field, but ugh. Alrighty, I'm past it. At least your team won today, Tyler, so that's good.
Yeah, they did well. I mean, I had one team win and then one team tie, like two ties in 2 weeks. And the worst part is it's Vikings Green Bay and they tied. Like,
How soon after that game ended do you think Dan Bailey received a phone call?
It was very soon.
I think Dan Bailey's phone was absolutely blowing up today. Did you see the amount of kicks that were missed in the NFL?
There were quite a few of them.
Like, so Cleveland Browns, like, hey, I'm Zane Gonzalez. Miss extra point. Miss field goal. Like, oh, my God.
The funny part is I had Red Zone on my phone, and then I had the Vikings game on my TV, and I was streaming both. But the one on the TV was a little bit more behind than Red Zone on my phone was. So my wife is watching it, and she had her friend over, or her cousin. And we're sitting there watching. She's like, okay, don't miss it. And I already knew. Like, I knew what happened. So I'm like, ugh. She's like, don't miss it. Don't miss it. And I don't want to spoil it. And then when he missed, she looked at me. She's like, she takes things way more than I do. Like, I'm more calm and collected. Like, okay, that sucked. But whatever. She goes, what in the heck just happened, Tyler? I go, he missed a field goal. And we tied. How can you tie in football? How does that work?
Two,
yeah, he's, you know, ugh, yeah, get
him. You know, you both right.
You know, when you tie in football, that no one gets a trophy for that because you don't win, you don't lose, you just tie. But if in case, they did tie, you know where they would get that trophy from? I bet they would go to TrophySmack.com, and they would use code DHH ring in order to get a free championship ring. because that's what the cool kids do. Tyler, you said your trophy is coming in tomorrow. So you better be blasting social media with pictures because I want to see it.
It's going to be amazing. I should be 2-0 in that league. Hopefully that trophy is just staying tight. Man, I'm going to sleep with that trophy.
Did you have it just come in already engraved with your name as champ?
I should have just done that.
Been like, yeah, I already won this.
Played already. Might as well. Averaging like 175 points in that league. Nice. Like just beast. Dominating. Love it.
Yeah, so make sure you check out trophysmack.com. Use code DHHRING and you can have a trophy better than Tyler's. Because you can build all sorts of custom ones. Did you get the unicorn on yours? I like the unicorn one. That one's pretty
cool. No, I got the silver football. The silver giant football. And then the other one I am getting is the black football, but it's got blue pillars.
That's my favorite.
The blue pillars because it is the League of 10,000 Lakes. So you had to get some blue.
You got to keep with the theme. Water. Nice.
Water.
Agua. So let's get into some news here. The big one, the bomb that was dropped last night yeah. was Josh Gordon is scheduled to be released on Monday by the Cleveland Browns. Or they're going to try to trade him. Supposedly, there's a couple teams that are really interested. The San Francisco 49ers were one, supposedly. He said he wants to play for the Cowboys or the Niners. And I saw that the Jets were possibly interested as well. So we could have some – by the time this is published, we may have some new news on Josh Gordon. But as of right now, it looks like he's going to be released on Monday. We'll go to Tyler. What are your thoughts on this? Do you think Cleveland – I mean, it sounds like he was late to a meeting – and then he hurt his hamstring doing some sort of promotional shoot, and they were just kind of the last straw. I know he didn't do much in week one. He did have one catch for a touchdown, but he looked healthy, and I thought it was kind of puzzling that this would be the thing that broke the camel's back.
So from what I heard is he was late to the meeting. He showed up, and he wasn't quite himself, which was a red flag.
Was he in costume? Was he dressing as someone else?
It was a clown just walking in. No, he just didn't seem right, and that worried them. It was a red flag. And if you watch Hard Knocks, you see Todd Haley and who's the GM again? I forgot. I'm having a brain fart.
John Dorsey.
Yes. And you can tell John Dorsey and Todd Haley are kind of both like, well, where is he? Why isn't he coming? And like, okay, well, we support you. And Hugh is big time like, hey, man, I love this guy. I'm all about Josh Gordon. But you could tell Todd Haley – and Tim, what's his name again?
John Dorsey.
You can tell those two were kind of like, okay, he needs to be here. Like they were kind of fed up with it. Like, come on, let's get this thing going. You're a football player. You need to be here.
Do you think they were kind of just like tolerating because Hugh liked him, and then they were looking for like one thing to be like, you're done.
Exactly. And I think they both. I think Dorsey and Haley, they both like Callaway. I think they're big fans of him. And they've been pushing to give him a chance. And I think Hugh is kind of like, okay. And you could tell during Hard Knocks, Hugh was kind of like the tough parent on Callaway. But everybody else wasn't. Like, it was kind of weird. Josh Gordon was like his prodigal son, while Callaway's like this kid that he was just like disciplining like crazy. That's the kind of mentality I got from Hugh Dorsey and Todd Haley, just and like you said, they're just waiting for that last thing where they can be like, okay, we supported you, and yeah, I mean, if it is marijuana or drug use, Josh needs to. I just think he needs to step away because he needs to get his life on track, and that's way more important than football. And if he's actually having issues, yeah, get your life on track, support your child, and. Honestly, this is not a joke. By the sounds of it, I heard he's actually a heck of a car salesman.
Yeah, I mean, he did do that part-time gig once. You know, the thing with me, I think Josh Gordon is... I don't think it was a substance abuse thing. I mean, he released his Instagram. He said, hey, who's looking for a deep threat wide receiver? So I think he's still... You know, I think he's still of right mind to play. I'm just going to be interested to see what team he ends up on and how quickly it happens.
I swear, if it's the Patriots, I'm going to cry.
Yeah. Whatever. I don't think it will be, to be honest. I mean, they already have Corey Coleman. So
I fully expected that Jerry Jones was going to give him a call. I mean, he's from Texas originally. Mm-hmm. Dallas going into, at least going into week two, looked like they needed some receiver help.
They still
obviously
do.
They, you know, they started the game off with a, you know, deep shot to Tavon Austin and whatnot, but they could definitely use a little more depth in that wide receiver room. And personally, I think this is just the first of many things that we're going to see in a split relationship between John Dorsey and Hugh Jackson. I think that John Dorsey is in this for the long haul, at least, you know, probably like the next 5 years in Cleveland. And Hugh Jackson is not John Dorsey's choice of head coach. I fully believe that if it's not during the season, and it probably will be, that very shortly after the season ends, Hugh Jackson will be fired. John Dorsey will go out and appoint his head coach of his choosing and his liking. And this is, yeah, you see Todd Haley Belichick in that pocket. Todd Haley has made the good connection there with John Dorsey for sure. And this is just the GM kind of already starting to put his stamp on the team. Like Hugh could protect him during camp, but now we're in the season. Okay. We're, you know, we're not 0-2, but we're 0-1-1. And this guy's, he hasn't been at camp. He's showing up late. See ya. And this kid that we drafted that we like, that we threw the, you know, last second bomb to tie the game today.
What a catch, by the way.
Oh yeah. Heck of a catch, heck of a throw. You see that the offensive coordinator, the GM, like this kid, they're using him in these situations already. So this is just those guys separating themselves from Hugh, and I think we're going to see more of this start to happen.
So that brings me to my next thing. I'm just going to kind of go off of the Browns thing. How soon before we see Baker? Because I don't think Tyrod played that well.
I think they give Tyrod at least one
more. He didn't play well. He salvaged his day with that Callaway bomb. He didn't play that well at all. So I would say, I mean, they're 0-1-1 right now. They had a chance to win that game if they had a competent field goal kicker.
Yep.
I think those things will all be taken into account. So I think by week six.
I can see that. But honestly, I still think they would have lost because you give Drew Brees even more than a minute, he's going to come back and win the game. It's kind of like Rodgers. You kind of knew with how much time was left, something was going to happen. So I get he missed the field goal. I don't think it mattered either way because I do think Brees would have walked down and scored.
Okay. Let's say they would have lost last second to the Saints again. But if they had a competent kicker last week, we're talking about a 1-1 Browns team that was at least in the game with the New Orleans Saints. Who were,
the Saints had 3 points
away
at halftime.
Yeah. I mean, the Saints were a play away from the NFC title game last year, and all of a sudden the Browns would have beaten the Pittsburgh Steelers and been in a game with the New Orleans Saints to the very last couple plays. I think at that point, the entire, you know, feeling around Cleveland and that team is a whole different story just based off of a couple kicks.
Okay. One last thing. I do think if Hugh is gone and Baker's starting, this offense is going to put up a lot of points.
Numbers. Yeah. Numbers.
And that defense is good. Like, they are actually good.
I'm still waiting on David Njoku.
A lot of people are.
Some drops.
Anywho. All right, let's move on to some injury news. There's not a lot of it this week, so I'm just going to kind of give a quick round robin, and you guys can come back and have any comments that you want. So the first one is Buffalo Bills, LeSean McCoy. Got landed on by one of his offensive linemen, so a little bit of friendly fire. He has a rib injury. He exited the game. He did come back a little bit later. Chris Ivory sniped him on a touchdown in that game. So if you started LeSean McCoy, Ivory was not your best friend. In the Minnesota game, Dalvin Cook went down late in the game with a hamstring issue. Everything indicates that he is going to be fine. It was just a bit of a cramping issue, so Dalvin appears to be A-OK. And he had another healthy workload type of game. He didn't score or put up huge numbers, but the workload is looking good, so Dalvin is getting back into business.
With him, I've seen in a couple leagues people say he's on the block because they're kind of sick of the low yardage with how many carries. Pat Elflein will be coming back soon, which is a huge part of that offensive line. Dalvin Cook played outstanding with Elflein in. Look for his numbers to go up, so it's a huge buy low opportunity if somebody's actually kind of soured on him.
Yeah, I agree. And we'll talk about some buy low candidates a little bit later as well. So Jay Ajayi, he exited early in the game with a back injury. Darren Sproles wasn't in the game, so we were all looking forward to a J.H.I. big game. Corey Clement had a nice touchdown, so congrats, Tyler. But he did return to the game and also scored a touchdown. So J.H.I., you know, the thing with here is, you know, he was nursing a bit of an injury in week one. Now he gets hurt in week two. So keep an eye on J.H.I. He might be a hot name that you could maybe sell right now, which wouldn't be terrible, I don't think. Mike Wallace in that same game went out with an ankle. He was carted off. No update on that. Not a huge dynasty thing for Mike Wallace. But if you're in a win now team, you know, with no Alshon Jeffrey, you think the targets were there. But Wallace went down early in this one. And then last but not least for the Indianapolis Colts, Jordan Wilkins also had an ankle injury. I was watching a little bit of that game, and it was fun. It was... they gave Marlon Mack a carry, and then they gave Jordan Wilkins a carry, and then they gave Nyheim Hines got the touchdown. An interesting amount of usage in that game for the Indianapolis Colts against the Redskins today. Guys, any comments on any of these injuries or anything that you saw out of any of these players today?
This is how I would like most weeks. This is how I would like every week in the NFL to go. Just very limited injuries, but let's spread them out across some other teams other than the Eagles. That's how I feel.
That's fair.
Yeah, and I like Ajayi. I think he looks very good. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I heard at first it was a knee, which worried me. Then I heard it was his back, which I was like, okay, that's better, but it's not so much better.
Yeah.
So hopefully he's healthy. Maybe give the guy a week off and get him back healthy. But yeah, I like Ajayi. I think he looks good this year. I think he needs to get more touches. But yeah. I like the way he's been playing.
Absolutely. Now, I don't know if, Tim, have you done anything with setting your lineups this week? Any tools that you might have been able to use? Because I know we talked about setting lineups earlier, but I think there's an app out there that can do a lot of that for you. Am I correct?
There is, and I'm going to tell you about that right now. That is the SquadQL app. Would you like an unfair advantage to dominate your fantasy football league? Well, look no further and download SquadQL. It is the only mobile app you need to crush your friends and rivals this year. SquadQL recommends the best starting lineup for each week based on your starters, bench players, and free agent pool. You ask, how does SquadQL actually do this? The app actually connects directly with your Yahoo, ESPN, and CBS leagues, pulling in the actual rosters, your league scoring system, and the app also provides waiver recommendation and player rankings each week based off your league settings. SquadQL truly is the go-to app this fantasy football season. Head to SquadQL.com to download SquadQL, your all-in-one fantasy football secretary. SquadQL is brought to you by the creators of RotoQL, the leading daily fantasy lineup optimizer trusted by 100,000 DFS players. You can also download RotoQL free for both Apple and Android. Now, I just read this, but I have the app on my phone. I, honest to God, I didn't use it week one because I'm like, you know, I got this. I've been ready all year. I'm going to set my first lineup. But like I said, I had some, you know, misses. So I went this week. I used SquadQL in all of my redraft leagues that are on Yahoo and ESPN. Doing much better this week. They do have the weekly waiver wire recommendations. It looks at who's on your wire and says, hey, this guy's, you know, projected rest of season to outperform this guy who was on your bench. Let's go make that move. It's up to you to actually make the moves. You make the decisions finally, but SquadQL is right there to help you out and give you that advice. And just from week one to week two, I can tell you SquadQL has helped me personally.
Awesome. I'd love to hear that news. It is a great app to use, especially if you play on multiple platforms.
Yep.
So thank you, Tim. And thank you to SquadQL for your sponsorship today. So let's get into some NCAA talk. There's a couple players I want to bring up and some questions about these said players. So I didn't watch a ton of college this weekend. I did watch most of the Florida State game, and I did have vomit all over my shirt because it was so bad.
I feel so bad for Doug and Josh Otrada from the Gurus because I have now kind of slid over to be a Florida State fan where I started watching college football. My cousin was a Miami fan. I was a Florida State fan. We kind of had a rivalry, but I feel so bad. Maybe I should just become just a college fan because maybe I should become an Alabama fan, just sacrifice my bad luck for everybody because, man, oh, man, I was a Notre Dame fan. I like them. They started just doing horrible things on the field and off the field. So I'm like, you know what, screw it. I'm going to Florida State. Now they're just playing terrible on the field. So I don't want to do it to the Gophers because I got to stay true to the hometown team. But I'm just going to be a college fan.
Yeah, I watched the first probably almost three quarters of Florida State, and I just couldn't take it anymore. It's the first time that Syracuse has beat Florida State since 1966. Like, it's ugly right now. Like, there's nothing good on that Florida State team. Anyway, let's move on to some other players. There's two players I want to talk about today, and I'll direct these at you, Tyler, and then Tim, feel free to chime in. The first one is Hollywood Brown, which is a great name, by the way, because anytime I think of Hollywood, the first thing that comes to mind is Hollywood Hulk Hogan. Yeah. From NWO, which when he's playing the air guitar and this, you know, he's got Scott Hall next to him and Kevin Nash. Oh, memories, man. Absolute glistening memories. So Hollywood Brown, wide receiver from Oklahoma. Tyler, you think this kid's got it to play at the next level? He's a small dude.
Well, they call him the Tyreek Hill of college.
Oh.
He is a very fast player, but he's very small. He's like 5'10", 5'9", 5'10".
You could put him in your pocket.
He's tiny because he's like 176. Tyreek Hill is a different animal. He's like almost 200, maybe 189, close to 200. Mm-hmm. So Tyreek Hill's got some muscle mass on him, but Brown is small, but he makes big plays, and the dude plays tough. I like the way he plays. He plays a lot like Tyreek Hill. He can go up and get the ball. He plays the ball well. He tracks the ball well. And I wanted to bring him up because I'm wondering, with you guys, can he make it into the NFL? And I think he can. I think he's going to be, I think he'll push himself into the second round, kind of like a Sterling Shepard area around pick 50, I think Sterling Shepard was. So he could be a mid-second. I don't know if he'll be a first runner because of his size, but the way the NFL is moving to,
it's a copycat league, man.
To the smaller wide receiver, the route runner, which he is a good route runner, the speed. I think he might. There's a chance he might be able to sneak into the first round. But my guess is early second, and I like the guy. He's on a Devy league, the Heisman to Haas league that Travis Mays started and a bunch of DLF people. I took him in like the seventh or eighth round of the college draft, which our college teams actually act as our Devy league, our Devy teams. And I have him, and I'm super pumped about it because he is going to be going into the draft next year. So hopefully he lands somewhere nice and plays like a Brandon Cooks type role. But I'm very excited for the guy.
Yeah, and I think the NFL is exactly like you said. If you're getting comped to Tyreek Hill and Brandon Cooks, that carries a lot of weight. Now, if he tests well, that's obviously going to help him quite a bit at the combine. So, yeah, I mean, maybe you see him in the second round to a team that needs that type of player to get an injection of electricity into their offense. So another player I want to talk about, Benny Snell, running back out of Kentucky. Tyler, yeah. What do you got on Benny Snell? Benny, so, also another fun name.
So he's a bigger guy, but he plays a lot like Kerryon Johnson to me. So he's not going to wow you in any athletic trait. He's just a really good football player. A lot of people actually compare him to Jay Ajayi in his running style. He just plays hard, puts his nose in down, and just goes for extra yardage. Very tough runner. He hasn't really shown the catching ability, which who in college has other than like Saquon and a couple other players. But I like his running style. Very productive in Kentucky, and he will be coming out this year, which is a very, very weak running back class. I know Rodney Anderson from Oklahoma got hurt a couple weeks ago with a torn ACL, so there's another running back we lost for this upcoming draft class, so scratch him off your list because I don't know if he'll be coming out because I think he'll probably come back for his redshirt senior year and try to get back some value. But going back to Snell, he's very productive, and I think stick to football guys, Matt Miller, who does way more scouting than me, he likes him, and he said he could be a second round, third round running back, which is probably going to be the first running back taken or close to. So Tim, I know you watched some college. Have you ever watched any of Benny Snell?
I've seen a little bit of Snell. You mentioned he's a bigger guy. I want to say he's like 5'11", 220-ish, somewhere in there. So he's got good body mass. He's not, you know, Derrick Henry size, but he's not a smaller back either. I do know he has played well so far this year. Like you said, I'd have to go and start with looking at guys like Matt Miller and see what they say about guys like this, and then I'd start to dig in a little bit more. But yeah, Benny Snell, like you said, based off of some of the injuries to some of the bigger names from bigger schools, he's kind of worked himself into a spot where he could be the first running back taken from this class. It might not be till the third round, but he could work his way into being that first running back.
Yep, and I know players like David Montgomery have kind of dropped a little bit. He hasn't been showing out well. He had an all right game last week, but I don't think it was good enough to push him more. So yeah, there's just this whole entire running back class is a mess. And if you're going to go off our top 12, it's probably going to be like top 6, top 5 are going to be wide receivers.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Because man, oh man, they just keep. It keeps getting more exciting about 2019 for me. I have a league where it looks like I have 101 and I don't need wide receivers, but I'm just drooling.
Trade back.
I don't even know if I want to do that because I'm just drooling at the fact where I could get Harry or like a player like that. And because these guys are going to be I won't say 2014, but we're looking at like a 2017 running back rookie class where they're productive and push the position to a better place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it definitely, it's being billed as a great wide receiver class, and I think it will live up to that hype. So, and then obviously 2020, we got the running backs coming in. Yeah, I'm actually excited for Noah Fant as well at the tight end position next year.
Beast.
I think that's he'll be a first round pick as well, which is pretty cool. Guys, have any? Go ahead.
You brought up the 2020 running back class, and I had a guy written down. You kind of mentioned him just right before we came on today. AJ mm-hmm. Dillon, running back from Boston College,
right in my backyard.
This kid, he is Derrick Henry size. He is 6'2", 245. He has 59 attempts so far this year for 432 mm-hmm. yards. Save yourself from doing the math. I have it right here. That's 7.3 yards per carry average, which is pretty studly no matter what level you're playing at. So not a burner by any means. He's not the most nimble of guys. He is a power runner with a little bit of wiggle to him. Mm-hmm. But Boston College is that's just kind of their MO. They go and get these big boys. What was that? Andre Williams, I want to say, was the last one.
Oh, don't forget William Green.
William Green, there you go. I mean, just big boys that can just maul through these college defenses, that's for sure. But just a guy to keep your eye on. Not this year, but that 2020 class, he could be in the talk as one of the better running backs there.
Yeah, I went to the Florida State game in Boston College last year, and A.J. Dillon, I didn't really know much about him, and then at that game, I was like, who is this kid?
You learned everything to know about
him. And I was just like, I'm like, this kid is like drilling people.
Yeah, so, when you say you saw him last year, by a couple of people that I'm in leagues with, the Heisman, the last league, there was a guy who actually went there, took a picture of him, and said he's even bigger than he imagined. Travis May said he heard rumors that he actually like worked on his body and his physique, mm-hmm. and pretty much said he has been shaped by the gods to play running back.
So just a side story, I was actually at an autograph show and Derrick Henry was there. And I was getting an autograph from Todd Gurley at the time, and Derrick Henry was behind him. And then they were talking for a minute, and I'm 6'4", and at the time I was a lot heavier, but just looking at Derrick Henry, it was just like, compared to Todd Gurley, I was just like, oh my God,
Derrick Henry punched you with his presence.
Is a goddamn animal.
It's too bad he can't run like him.
I know. He's just a massive chiseled human being. So that's all I'm going to say about Derrick Henry. And I was just like, wow. And he's the same height as I was, but he was just, wow. He was yoked.
Yeah. With A.J. Dillon, I think we brought him up last week, too. So if we have repeated ourselves, we are sorry, but we are all very excited about this guy coming out.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And then I was talking to some of our writers this week, and they wanted us to kind of hit on some IDP So just in some of the games I got to watch this weekend, this guy really stood out to me. Devin White, linebacker, LSU, 6'1", He's 6'1", 240. This guy's potentially the fastest defensive player in the draft, and he's a linebacker. I mean, this kid is crazy fast. His first step is amazing. He has great instincts. He just, the ability to read the play, react, and then make a break at the ball carrier is fantastic. So far in the season, he's played two games, 19 total tackles. Last year, he had 133 tackles, 4.5 sacks, and 1 interception. So nice. The kid's a playmaker. He's a tackling machine, and it looks like he's on pace for another fantastic season.
Converted running back. He played running back just like Miles Jack, but think way more athletic than Jack. I know Jack, everybody loves. He's actually more athletic than Jack is. So he could completely reshape the linebacker for whatever team he goes to.
I hadn't caught an LSU game this year. I saw one on Saturday, and just it seemed like every play he was either making a tackle or was right there in the area, just all over the field. This Devin White guy is going to be the real deal.
Very nice. Getting some IDP love in there. I love to hear it. I'm glad I drafted Darius Leonard in my IDP Dynasty home draft. He had 20 points today in fantasy. Oh, boy. Indianapolis Colts rookie linebacker Darius Leonard. If you don't know about him, you should. So before we move on to our next segment, I just wanted to let you guys know to check out patreon.com/DynastyHHPod, where we've got a great program set up where you can pledge to the creators, which are us. So if you love this podcast, you love the website, just everything about it, you can go on and you can do a DHH Tier 1, which is $2 or more per month, just to make the podcast a little bit better so we can get some better equipment, get advertising out there, kind of spread the word a little bit more. We have a Tier 2, which is $5 a month, where you can actually get discounts on the Dynasty Happy Hour store. We're going to do a separate mailbag episode once we have enough subscribers, so make sure you check that out. And then Tier 3 is at $10 or more. You're going to get the extra mailbag episode. You're going to get the you're going to get entered in for monthly giveaways, as well as you're going to get a DHH store discount of 25%. So check out patreon.com/DynastyHHPod. Do it now. Pause this podcast and go on that website. We'll wait for you. Don't worry. Okay, thank you. So let's get into some NFL talk, boys. Tyler, you wanted to freeball this thing, so I'm gonna let you light this candle. Let's go.
All right, so we'll go to the Packers-Vikings game because, of course, I probably watched most of that. Mm. Laquon Treadwell scored his first touchdown. I'm very happy for that, and I'm
only
happy.
Only took him three seasons.
But, man, he drops the ball a ton. I think they punished him a little bit by putting Stacy Coley in, who, like I said last year, they like, who, if you have any taxi squad spots, pick him up because he's a very athletic kid from Miami. He's fast. Don't sleep on him if Treadwell kind of falls on his face here. But I'm happy Treadwell got his moment of glory. And then, once again, like I said with Delvin Cook, go bye. Because I know there's a couple of people in my personal home leagues here in Minnesota that are kind of, oh, man.
Souring just, a little bit?
Yeah, in home leagues up here in Minnesota. So I can only imagine what people in other leagues are doing. Don't sour on him. Pat Elflein's coming back to save the day. Go get him. Now, I do want to bring up the rookie quarterbacks. We already talked about Baker and where he's going to – Rosen's got to start soon, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, absolutely.
Is that Arizona offense actually going to get better with Josh Rosen in there?
Yes.
I don't think it does. You think it does?
Yes.
I think that offensive line is bad. I think the system's bad. They have two players, Larry Fitzgerald and David Johnson, on that team that I feel are worth anything right now. And Larry is just, until they have some sort of quarterback production, Larry's really not worth starting in any of your leagues.
That's why he went out of the game because he's like, I don't want to play with Bradford.
He's like, I'm out of here, boys.
Oh, my ankle.
At least he didn't retire at halftime, though, you know?
Oh, my God.
He didn't pull a Vontae Davis.
I wanted to go back to the Green Bay game real quick. This is the end of the Aaron Jones suspension, and I haven't seen anything out of the running back core for Green Bay to make me think anybody said when Aaron Jones comes back, there's no reason to even give him, you know, snaps.
It is about to pop off, Tim.
Yeah.
He's going to get snaps. I
all
know.
This talk Doug and I have been doing all offseason.
I know.
It is going
to
be
about
lit.
To go down, baby.
So Williams didn't look bad.
He also didn't look good.
So yeah, him and Jones
are
going
to
split.
Nothing to make me go, that's your starting running back.
Yep, him and Jones are going to split.
The only one that's done anything since the beginning of last year to make me think that's a starting running back in the league is Aaron Jones.
He's
and
the
so
juice,
now
man.
He's getting ready to come back. He's going to be the freshest of the, you know, of the three's legs. So, yeah, he's probably going to have, you know, the smallest share in his first week back. It's just a matter of time. He's going to get in there. He's going to make things happen. And Aaron Jones will be the starting running back for the Packers, I'd say, before week 7 or 8.
I want to see he's going to be the starting running back next week.
It depends on if he's ready to go.
He's more than ready. He's good to go. I talked to him personally, and he was like, yeah, I'm good. And I was like, cool.
So you guys all sold AP, right?
I don't own AP anywhere, but I you know, it's funny. I was talking on the Guru Game Guidance podcast. I was like, yeah, I'm not sold on Adrian Peterson this week because this is what he did last year, like big first game and then And then yeah. I saw you tweet out like Adrian Peterson like trap
it's
game
a
or whatever
it's
it was.
A trap.
It's a trap. Admiral Akbar trap game. 100% right. How about Chris Thompson though? He had like 13 receptions. Good golly, Miss Molly.
Yeah.
Taking all my Jamison Crowder points away. Dang.
Yeah.
At one point, I want to say it was like right close to the first half ending. Jamison Crowder was actually the leading rusher for the Redskins.
He was.
Adrian Peterson was the leading receiver for the Washington Redskins. You know, AP had something like 3 catches for 30 yards. I want to say, and you know, I didn't get to see that game, but somehow Crowder
AP
was leading them.
AP didn't look bad in that game.
No.
It was just, you know, he wasn't overly effective. I mean, he looked okay, but that was a good spot for him to smash in with against the Colts defense.
Yep.
And I kind of saw that one, that it was going to be a, like Tyler said, a trap game.
So, Doug, is there anything more annoying than whoever called the Patriots game than always calling Sony Michel James White every play? Oh, James White with the run. No, that's not James White. Like, I just wanted to scream at the TV.
There's a couple players in the NFL. James White, Sony Michel is one. I was watching another game today, and there was running backs that have similar numbers and similar builds, and they messed it up a couple times too. But I'll tell you what. I really liked the usage that Sony Michel saw in his first game.
Yeah.
So Rex Burkhead started the game and then disappeared for most of the game. I was like, I haven't seen Rex Burkhead do anything. And then they were kicking off, and there he is on special teams. And I'm like,
he did pick up a first down late in the game. He had a nice little run.
Yeah, he played in garbage time at the very end and ended up getting you, like, you know, 4 points or whatever. But they treated Sony Michel almost like the number one ball carrier. Like, he didn't catch a lot of passes.
Like, he's a first-round pick.
Yeah, crazy, right? And I gotta say, I wouldn't say he looked outstanding, but all things considered, I thought he looked pretty good.
Yeah,
Jacksonville's a great defense, and I didn't think he looked that bad.
I like the way he ran it inside, and he had patience, vision. I like
he
what
ran
I
with
saw.
Power.
Yeah,
like he didn't go down easily.
When he there was one run there, I was like, holy crap. James White can run the ball inside. And because I was the announcer, and I'm like, wait, hold on. Nope. Dang it. And that's why I was getting so upset, because he's like, James White. And it happened with Ted Ginn and Michael Thomas. Ted Ginn got a pass inside, and he's like, oh, Michael Thomas breaks off it. And I'm like, Michael Thomas isn't that fast. And
no,
then I saw the 9. I'm like, oh, man. One of my favorite things also, Tony Romo. He's going to be a coach soon. He's got to
so
be a coach.
He's so annoying. He's watching that game today because I watched all of it. There's if I'm not watching a Patriots game, maybe he's not as annoying, but he was just he was swallowing the Jaguars the whole time because they were winning. Like, he was just like this microphone just losing it. Like,
I think that Tony Romo was very surprised by how well Blake Bortles was doing. Moving around the pocket, extending the play, keeping his eyes downfield, and making not the most accurate of throws, but decent enough throws. He wasn't putting the ball in too many bad places. I saw like 2 or 3 where I'm like, there's the old Bortles. But Bortles did a very good job of managing a football game today. He did very well, and
he
made plays
400 yards.
Yeah, I wouldn't say he managed it. Yeah. I mean, he won that game for them on offense.
I mean, he converted on third downs.
Well,
yeah,
let's be honest. The Patriots' defense was shit.
Yeah.
They were terrible. There was open holes all over the field that all Blake Bortles had to do was throw to an open receiver. He didn't make any real tight window throws. I mean, the Moncrief touchdown was nice because that was a jump ball fade route, and that was nicely thrown.
The Keelan Cole touchdown was nice.
The Keelan Cole one was dropped in the bucket. That was nice. But all the other stuff moving between the 20s was wide open. I don't know. The Patriots' defensive scheme today was absolutely
horrible. No, Doug. Not everything else between the 20s was wide open because Keelan Cole went up and snagged one. Out of the heavens, one-handed catch. That was an amazing.
We're buying
rep.
In, right? Because I'm all in on Keelan Cole now. I'm bumping him up in my rankings.
I snagged him in a bunch of redraft drafts a few weeks back, and I'm like, yes, here we go, baby.
Now, I almost got him for a second last week. And
Keelan Cole
looked,
gets a lot of Antonio Brown comparisons.
Yeah,
from a work ethic standpoint, and I mean, it looked good.
Yeah,
but all right, which catch was better? Was it the Keelan Cole one-hander or the James Conner one-hander? Did you see that one?
Connor's was nice. Cole went up in the air over defender. I think Cole's was better.
James Connor's a running back. He's not expected to do that.
It doesn't. You're asking me which play was better. It doesn't matter.
Whose hurdle was better, Austin Hooper or Jimmy Graham? I don't know if you saw their hurdles.
I didn't see either one of them.
Jimmy Graham, I think, just walked over Mike Hughes. Like he just stepped over him. And then Austin Hooper tried to hurdle and got nicked in the knee and then did like a flip and landed right on his butt.
He did the John Elway, the helicopter?
It was terrible. And I'm like, oh, man, when are tight ends going to learn not to jump? Like, I think Jimmy Graham's like, I'm going to turn back time and I'm going
to
jump.
Basketball
I just walk over him. All right.
I'm just waiting for David and Joker to hurdle someone so he just like leaves the stadium completely.
I think he would. I think
he would. Like a superhero, he just takes off.
Speaking of inside the 20s, I think he would jump from 20 yards to 20 yards.
That would be a hell of a play if you were able to pull that off. Oh, my God.
Speaking of rookie running backs, why aren't the Browns running Nick Chubb more?
Yeah.
What's he got? A total of 5 carries on the season now? He's averaging 7 yards a carry.
He looks way better than Hyde.
Yeah.
When Hyde was in, all I thought, because they have Hyde's 34 and Chubb is 24 now.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So when I saw the numbers and I saw a couple run plays, I'm like, oh, dear God, don't be Nick Chubb because he looked terrible.
He looked bad.
And then when he stood up, it was Hyde. And I'm like, okay, that's good news. And once again, it's like, okay, you put Baker in, you put Chubb in. Holy crap, this offense is going to move. But
no,
we
I'm
got
not saying,
Hugh
I'm not
Jackson.
Saying. I'm not saying put Chubb in and give him every carry, make him a bigger part of the offense. I mean, 5 carries through 2 games is terrible.
How do you
get
keep a Chubb rolling? You keep working it.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. You don't let a Chubb just sit
there.
How
do you hide a Chubb or how do you hide a Johnson?
Yeah. you gotta get
Chubb and Johnson more involved. Honestly,
you can't hide Chubb and Johnson.
No.
The only way you can is duct tape.
So
duct tape is Hugh Jackson and Mike McCoy. Like, those are the duct tape.
Yeah. I mean, you got to get Chubb, and you got to just pound him up the middle. You know what I'm saying?
So can we talk about another rookie running back real quick? Because I wrote this down in my notes. Philip Lindsay was not a one-week thing, guys. It wasn't a fluke week. He carried the ball 14 times for 107 yards.
Yeah.
Royce Freeman, 8 for 28 in a touchdown. I did not expect Philip Lindsay to have double-digit carries in back-to-back weeks for the Denver Broncos. I was shocked because I was like, you know what? This is a great Royce Freeman spot. They can run him 20 times against a soft Oakland defense. And freaking little Philip Lindsay is going over 100 yards. And can I make another side note? Remember back in the day, maybe just a small handful of years ago, when we would have like 10 or 12 rushers go over 100 yards every week?
Yep.
We had like 4.
Yeah, it's a rare thing. When you have Michael Thomas getting 12 catches a game and then Fitzmagic throwing for over 400 yards each game and 4 touchdowns, which I absolutely love, and hate because I have Mike Evans on so many teams, but I hate because I have Jameis on a couple super flex teams, and Doug and I love us some Jameis.
Yep.
But man,
he ain't getting that job back.
Did you guys see what he was wearing post game at the press conference?
Amazing. You look like Conor McGregor.
The guy's the man. I love him. I love him. He just beat my Eagles, but man, how can you be mad at that? Good for you.
All I got to say is he's doing this. He's soaking it on, which he should, because I think he knows it's coming. The four interception game, 140 yards. It's got
to
be coming.
The back to earth Fitzpatrick game is absolutely coming. And it'll be against the so he just played against the Saints and the Eagles, two good defenses. It's going to be against the team, and they play Pittsburgh next week, so he'll light up Pittsburgh because they're terrible.
But the week after that,
it'll be right after Jameis gets back. They'll play an inferior opponent that everyone is going to start him in their DFF lineups and be like, oh, Fitzpatrick's going to pop off this week. It'll be like he plays against the Bills and he'll throw like four picks.
But Pittsburgh is that matchup. Anybody can throw on Pittsburgh, it seems.
No, I think on Monday night, I think Fitzpatrick swags all over Pittsburgh.
That was my argument. I was having a conversation with somebody this week. And I said, when's the last time Fitzpatrick put together two games in a row like that? Yeah, he went off against New Orleans. I don't think he's going to do it two games in a row. And he came out and did it. So congratulations to Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Yeah. It's fun to watch because he is just throwing YOLO balls up and he's out there having fun. Love my life.
He's a decaf quarterback, friends.
I love it. Now, I want to go back to Pat Mahomes. How untouchable is this guy in any format? It doesn't matter if it's one quarterback, two quarterback, super flex. How untouchable is Pat Mahomes at the moment?
He's playing hellacious football. The guy
this year's Deshaun Watson, bro.
He's way more efficient than Watson, though.
No, I'm just saying from a hype standpoint. Like, remember when Deshaun Watson was popping off and his value was absolutely through the roof? That's Patrick Mahomes right now.
Now, is this defenses haven't had a chance to figure him out yet? Is that part of it?
It could be.
I think that's a small. I think that's a small part of it. I think Mahomes is. I think he's just really, really good.
Yes, and I think the more he gets confidence, the way more deadlier he's going to be. And that was my issue. Is you could tell he's a confidence quarterback like Favre. I know that you get that comp, but when Favre was in Minnesota, when he had that amazing year up here, everything fell in place for him. He had confidence. He was throwing it wherever he wanted. But then the following year, right after that huge year.
That's Sidney Rice year.
Ever since he got picked off by New Orleans and they lost in that game to go to the Super Bowl, I don't know if that affected him, but he came back and he looked terrible. He had no confidence. He kind of had his tail between his legs. I think that's the type of player Mahomes is. So say he throws like three picks, has a game where it's like 200 yards, one touchdown, three picks. I might worry a little bit because he's kind of dropped down a little bit confidence wise. But going back to that, he looks like a gunslinger. Like he threw a pick and it didn't bother him.
I was going to say the confidence issue with him, I don't think is a problem because they're up 21-0. The Steelers march back, tie it up. And then from that point on, it's just him and Ben shot for shot down the field. And he doesn't blink. He scores. The Steelers come down and score. They score. Steelers. And he's not rattled. He wasn't shook in that moment. We saw the same thing happen in the Patriots-Jaguars game where the Jaguars were up early and the Patriots start making that comeback. And it's like every team does this against the Patriots. They just leave that door open and here they come. Right. And somehow, like Doug said, that Patriots defense just couldn't make a stop to save their butt today. But
yeah, I think that's the advantage that Mahomes has of being a child of someone that was a former professional athlete.
Psychology of it.
Baseball.
The psychology. I mean, his dad pitched for the Twins, Pat Mahomes.
A reliever.
The first one. He was a reliever.
Being a reliever pitcher, you've got to kind of shake off a bad game.
Yeah.
Right. So I think that, I mean, that could just be a narrative thing, but that would make sense. I mean, if he's learning from his dad in pressure situations, relievers are in pressure situations. All They're the usually time. Brought yeah. in. Because yeah, there's runners on base
two,
and
two
there's
base
other
hits
things
and you
got going
a guy
on
first and third with nobody out and it's tie ball game.
Exactly. And one of the things I think was lost in today's performance because, you know, Kelsey had the big game with two touchdowns and Mahomes with the six, which was amazing.
You say Sammy,
Chris Conley.
Yeah.
I am going to say Sammy Watkins, who didn't score a touchdown. He was like the only player on the roster that didn't score a touchdown. Yeah. But that's okay. He went over 100 yards receiving. He had 30 yards rushing. Like, this isn't very, very encouraging for Sammy Watkins. So if you had him in week one and you were like, oh my God, he had two catches. Like, oh, we're going to go through this again.
I traded Sammy in pigs three.
What'd you get for him?
DJ Moore.
Okay.
Who had a touchdown catch. I love it.
Yeah, it was late in the game.
Him and Ridley. Yeah. Him and Ridley got there first. Let's keep rolling.
I think they targeted him a second time in the end zone, too, didn't they?
You know, it took Laquon Treadwell three seasons to get his first. DJ Moore two games.
They're way ahead of schedule.
Another receiver, Sutton, looked good. And James Washington got a touchdown, everybody.
His one, and he got the first target of the game on a deep bomb that just missed.
James Washington. Yeah.
I'm telling you, this rookie wide receiver class, man. Watch Anthony Miller pop tomorrow
night. I had both the Eagles game and the Steelers game up on my TV when they both first started. So, the DeSean Jackson touchdown right off the bat for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Literally, as DeSean's running in the end zone, Ben is heaving it down the field to James Washington. I'm like, man, am I going to see two touchdowns on bombs within like 5 seconds of each other? But, yeah, both teams just went deep. James Washington had his guy beat down the sideline, just didn't connect.
If Washington would have connected, Tim's yelling at his wife, honey, I'm ready. I'm coming up.
Here we go.
Let's do this. Nice. Yeah, so I thought it was really good for Sammy Watkins. And Chris Conley and DeMarcus Robinson both catch touchdowns. I know Conley's your guy, Tim. Mm-hmm. So that's good to see that he's back from the Achilles injury.
He scored the first one of the game. Like, yeah, baby, Conley.
So – another situation where he's calling up for his wife is we all know Philadelphia Eagles have wide receiver injuries and issues. Conley to Philadelphia. It's good night, Tim.
Oh, yeah.
Josh Gordon to Philadelphia.
That would be nice, too. But one of my last things, I know we're kind of getting close to that closing time. Corey Clement, I'm going to keep tooting Corey Clement. Man, I thought he looked way better. I know week one, he was dancing.
He looked sluggish in week one.
Week one, he looked bad. Week two, he saw a hole, hit hole, and he just got the yardage that were given to him. I think he's trying to do too much week one because I feel like he's trying to be like, hey, you know, look at me. I need more touches. And I think he's kind of accepting the role he is put into, which – is still going to produce, but when Sproles is in, it's going to be limited. But when Sproles is out, which is also going to be next year, Clement is going to have huge value. So he's still a buy for me. And yeah, I think in most leagues he got you 19 points. I'd take that every day.
Yeah, I completely agree with you, Tyler.
Is a solid outing. Any other players you guys saw today that that flashed for you? They didn't necessarily have huge games, but
Zay Jones.
Zay Jones, okay.
He had two for 65, I think.
Yeah, one was like a broken play, like bomb, though.
Come on. Give the guy some credit. He's been through a hard year.
It doesn't just have to be today. Let's talk about that Thursday night game. I mean, Joe Mixon looked good, but who really looked good over there was A.J. Green. I mean, I think one point he was three catches for 30-some yards and three touchdowns.
So, in the first half, yeah.
Yeah, if you had A.J. Green on your fantasy teams starting this week, you thought halfway through that first Thursday night game that, yep, this week's locked up, I got it.
And then you faced Melvin Gordon or Todd Gurley, and they've had three touchdowns, too.
Can I also bring up Tyler Boyd in that game?
Yeah.
Who's a guy I liked.
Yeah, that was a bit of a breakout for Tyler Boyd.
Nine targets in that game.
He is a total possession guy. He's going to play in the slot. But that's where Andy Dalton likes to go. I mean, if Eifert can't stay healthy, he's going to be the guy in the middle. And this could be a game that kind of pushes him up and pushes the targets up. He could get more than nine, but very, very secure hands, a guy that catches a lot of everything thrown his way. And, yeah, he breaks a slant, gets 30 yards, maybe a touchdown. Yeah, he could be a good bye week guy.
Can I give you a deep, deep cut from that game? So if you're in tight end premium leagues, CJ Uzomah.
Yeah.
I've always liked him. Very athletic guy.
Looked pretty good. I know they have Tyler Eifert there. They also have the other Tyler and Croft. But, man, Uzomah, I know he's battled some health issues the last couple of years, but he looked really good. Like, and we all know Tyler Eifert is a glass house.
Yeah. So. He and Eifert actually both had four targets in that game.
Another tight end that we should talk about is Ian Thomas, who had a crucial drop in the end zone. I think he had some jitters just kind of the rookie lulls.
I mean, how can you drop something when you have like foam finger hands? They're so big.
Massive hands.
Yeah. So, hey, I think you're probably right. It was probably rookie jitters. He's getting used to the system. So on. How about Christian McCaffrey? What he ended up with, like, what, 14 catches or 12? Like 12, a ton of catches.
12 catches, I think, for 100, a little over 100. And then he also had a good average rushing, but they got down so quick.
Yeah, he got game scripted out of the running part for sure.
Yep. And like we were talking, Atlanta's defense, thank God, still look good without their two best defensive players out in Deion Jones and Keanu Neal. I hope to God Atlanta can keep doing this. Matt Ryan pulling his best Cam Newton, two rushing touchdowns.
Yeah. He took a hit, too.
I scared. I was so scared on the second rushing touchdown. I'm like, dear God, Matt Ryan, don't do that.
Wow. And speaking of rookie running backs with a lot of receptions, we had Chris Thompson. We had Christian McCaffrey. We also have Saquon Barkley with 13 receptions in this game so far. It's almost wrapped up. But, running backs, the check down city. This week, I don't think I can remember three guys going over double-digit receptions at the running back position. It's been a while.
Yeah.
I'm sure Pat Thorman will tweet something out from Pro Football Focus.
Can Jordan Howard do it tomorrow?
Ooh. I need Jordan Howard to have a nice game.
Tariq Cohen.
Bilal Powell looked good in the receiving game. Yeah. He had like 5 for 74 and a touchdown.
Sam Darnold, I still feel like looks like the real deal. The best thing about Darnold is, he threw two picks. He threw for over 300 yards. He has total control and trust from that offense. Every player on that field, you can tell, is rallying behind this guy, willing to throw their body in front of him for a bullet. Like, that's what the team looks like, and I love seeing that.
If Gordon doesn't have his two receiving touchdowns, we're looking at another week where Eckler is
beast,
the most productive back in that backfield for the Chargers.
Yeah, I just traded him in a league for some money because I'm not competing until, I don't know, 2021.
Eckler's the guy tab, I got at the end of last season on some rosters, and
I picked him up for free in a couple leagues in the UDPL. Yeah. I picked him up early and then I traded him off
to me.
I did.
Then he's a guy him. I would I wouldn't go out necessarily looking to buy because the owner is going to try to price gouge you at this point. But if you have him, even if you're not the Gordon owner, I think he's a hold. I think you got to hold on to him because if something does happen to Gordon, we see he's valuable now with a healthy Gordon. If something happens to Gordon, I think Eckler's going to go through the roof.
He's still Eckler. He's a flex play right now.
I was just going to say Eckler is, you could put him in your flex and feel pretty decent about it.
Yeah, you can start him right now. Yeah, he's usable now. If something happens to Gordon, he's gonna be an absolute stud.
So, and my last thing I'm gonna say, Hunter Henry is running,
like sprinting. I saw that.
So, if he comes back, this is the quickest, most unbelievable ACL recovery I have ever seen in my life. I don't know.
Yeah, take a back seat, AP. This is how you come back from an ACL.
That would be nuts. I know the kid's like 24 years old. He's young. He can still recover quick from injury. If I had an ACL, I'd be out for 5 years. But, man.
he took a short trip down into Tijuana and got some of those Mexican
he gets some blood. and he got some blood spinning over in Europe.
He's getting that special medicine in him. And, he's
the ones that are like 2 for $14, huge containers.
So good for him. Good for him. I hope that he takes his time and does it right.
Yes.
And doesn't try to rush it because, are the Chargers really in a Super Bowl window right now?
Well, their medical team sucks. So if they're
and
like
their, and their defense isn't as advertised.
So no joke, their medical team sucks. So if they're saying all right, no, he looks good, I'm gonna sit here and be like, no, he's not.
No,
I'm gonna get a second opinion.
I don't believe you.
Go up to Berkeley and have one of those colleges look at you.
Jeez.
Yeah, that would probably be the safe bet. Absolutely. Yeah.
So
awesome. Any last word? Oh, Tyler, you said that was your other. Tim, anything before we wrap up here?
I think that's about it for me. That was a lot of fun, though. I like this open freestyling format we got.
Yeah, let us know.
Freestyling,
on
profiling.
Like let us know on Twitter if you guys like it better. Just going off the top of our heads, just talking football.
I like it. We're going to keep doing it if everyone else likes it. But we like it, so it makes it fun for us, which is always good. Going off script, if you will. So that is going to wrap us up on the Dynasty Happy Hour. Just want to give a shout out to our sponsors today, SquadQL, Trophy Smack, and make sure you check out patreon.com as well for the Dynasty Happy Hour, and you can pledge there. Much appreciated. We're going to be back next week for week 3. I've been your host, Doug Eddy, with my co-host, Tyler Gunther, and Tim Keller. We will see you next week.
Go get that W. Go eat it.
Just don't eat it. No, don't eat it. No.
That's all the time we have for Dynasty Happy Hour. If you're looking for more fantasy football advice, be sure and follow the guys on Twitter. Doug at DaFantasyFather, Tim at DHH_Tim, Tyler at DHH_Tyler. Check out DynastyHappyHour.com for rankings, articles, ADP, shirts, and so much more. Need a question answered on the show? Hit the guys up on Twitter at DynastyHHPod, on the contact link on the site, or by email. DHH@DynastyHappyHour.com. Music is brought to you by the Fantasy Hitman, Mike Wright. We'll catch you back here next time for the Dynasty Happy Hour.